Hey guys, welcome to the third episode of the Forex Gaming Podcast. I am Rob, aka DevilDog FF, or Orcas or Dolphins, and tonight we're going to be talking about the Forex genre and how we actually define it. We're also joined by a very special guest, Ray Fowler, the sole developer of Remnants of the Precursors, a modernization, if you will, of Master of Orion 1. Ray, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, sir?
Oh, hey, thanks. This is Ray Fowler. I am a software developer, not really a game developer, and I've been working on Remnants of the Precursors for about 2 years now. It's a graphical update of the original Master of Orion from 1993, and it will eventually be open sourced for the public.
Which means it's totally free, right? Completely and utterly free?
Absolutely.
That's so amazing. If you guys aren't familiar with Remnants of the Precursors, it's definitely something worth checking out. I think you do open alphas, right? And you're about to have one here soon?
Yeah, I used to do alphas that were like time limit, but I think now what I'm going to do is just about once a month or every 2 months, just release the latest developer build for people to play. So it'll be available to anybody that wants to try it out.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Master of Orion 1 over Master of Orion 2, which is something I'm sure is going to cause a little bit of debate. But what you're doing with that game is really exciting. So glad to have you here. Thanks for joining us, Ray.
Thanks.
So Combat Wombat, tell us a little bit about what you're up to, and maybe tell us a little about what you're playing lately.
Oh, man, Space Empires 4. I never stopped playing Space Empires 4. Right now I'm in one multiplayer game. It's a three of us versus a very high-level AI. So far we're doing okay.
Kirkus Maximus.
For some reason I'll never understand, and perhaps something to do with a sale, I got the expansion to Star Drive 2, and I'm giving it another shot.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being torture and 10 being ecstasy, where are you on that?
Well, the original Star Drive 2 was mostly unplayable because of the ground combat, and apparently this gets rid of it, but I just started it, so I'll get back to you on it.
Excellent. I look forward to hearing your impressions. Tortuga, tell us what's going on, man.
Yeah, well, we have that Dominions 4 huge multiplayer series going on, so I've been playing a bit of that. And just because that's not enough, I've also been trying to get through a playthrough of Aurora 4X. And I would say that is a difficult game sometimes to, you know, if you don't play it for like over an hour in a sitting, you lose so much momentum.
Yeah, I've never actually fired it up. It's free. I should probably try it.
Yeah, it's free, but it also has, you know, the normal learning curve barrier, and the user interface is very difficult, and there's a lot to love once you can get beyond the surface obstacles, but those surface obstacles are not, I mean, the game does not look appealing, so.
I have crappy memories of an afternoon spent trying to figure out Dwarf Fortress, and after like 4 hours, I vowed never to play that game again, and to basically make fun of anybody who does.
Yeah, I think that's what they call Aurora 4X, is Dwarf Fortress in space, right? So there's some similarities there, but I would say you have a little more control, and I prefer it personally.
It's extremely punishing as well. If it will let you do terrible, terrible things and let you make horrible mistakes that will strand your ship in the middle of nowhere with no fuel, no air, and everybody dies.
Yeah, that doesn't really sound very fun to me, so this stuff has never really been very fun for me. Anyway, back to the subject at hand, let's talk about 4X games and really get down into the mechanics of it and what really defines 4X over, say, turn-based strategy or real-time strategy, and try to figure out what the hallmarks of the actual genre are. And before we do that, let's take a quick visit down history lane, and then we'll get into Combat Wombat's initial thoughts. So back in 1993 for Computer Gaming World, this guy Alan Emmerich, who you may know as one of the lead developers for Master of Orion 2, was previewing Master of Orion 1, and he came up with the term 4X. I'm sure everyone's so familiar with this, but 4X being explore, expand, exploit, and exterminate. Then fast forward to today. We've had dozens upon dozens of 4X games. And there are people even, you know, like contemporaries that doing other podcasts even, that may not necessarily agree with the 4X term. So, okay, so now let's take the term 4X and really dive into it and try to dissect it a bit and explain what makes a 4X game. So, Combat Wombat, tell me, what do you think are some of the defining characteristics of the 4X genre?
Well, so everyone else is going to dive into the individual axes, but I think having victory conditions outside of a total like domination war victory are, it's just an absolute must-have in any 4X game. If you can't win a peaceful victory, then you're not really given any options, and it's not that much of a game.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy as well in terms of the verbiage 4X versus Empire Builder.
Right, and I think that's where some heartburn takes place, because, you know, some people don't necessarily like, because you can use the 4X term for nearly any strategy game that involves exploration. So, I mean, you could even use 4X for that, like that new Northgard game. You could go to maybe even StarCraft if you wanted to really loosely use 4X terms to define a game. So, Ray, what did you have?
Well, I think that's kind of a real stretch. I mean, to me, a 4X is basically a sandbox where the player starts off relatively small and ends up large, and he's competing against computer or other human opponents that are doing the same thing, and with the end result being to conquer the world. I mean, to me, that's like the essence of what a 4X is.
So how does that like compare? You said StarCraft isn't one, right? And I think we'd all agree, but couldn't you say that all those things apply to StarCraft?
I think to Ray's point and to Combat Wombat's point is that Ray mentioned scale, which I think is important. A lot of those games are tend to be RTS-like and deal with individual units and individual buildings, and 4X games tend to have a larger scope than that. And they also have victory conditions outside of just wipe out the enemy. Although world domination or galactic domination or intergalactic domination, as the case may be, is often tends to be the end goal, but it isn't necessarily that.
Well, and so if we can go back to Master of Orion 1, where the term started, that was the only goal. So I know that 4X has expanded to become a genre where there are multiple win conditions, but the very first 4X games had just one. So, I mean, where, again, so this is where I think the term is so loose, because, you know, a 4X game now today, yeah, you're expecting more than one combat victory or combat victory condition. Yeah, because that makes sense. More than one victory condition. But I mean, when we started this genre, when the genre got its name, it really was nothing more than a war game.
I think the genre is only just, well, more recently living up to what it should have been. I think Civilization 2, maybe Stars, is where the genre really started.
Yeah, I think I want to disagree with Rob a little bit, because even though like Master of Orion was called the first 4X, probably the first popular 4X was Civilization, and it had three different win conditions, right? You could have Conquest, you had the United Nations victory, and you had a technological victory where you would launch the spaceship. So I don't know if it's always just been Conquest.
Okay, so you're right, Ray. You got me. You're right. But there has been a focus on extermination for most 4X games up until recent. And I think Civilization led the way with multiple win conditions. But the average space 4X, definitely, I think up until, in fact, I can't remember where it may have divided. But I mean, you got some of the classics like Ascendancy that we talked about before, Master of Orion, Master of Orion 2, Stars, like some of these original 4X space 4X games where there was only one win condition.
To be clear, Master of Orion, you could also win by getting peaceful unification, by becoming Galactic Emperor. The other thing is that a lot of it is because the early 4X games pretty much came out of straight war games, right? You look at the board games that inspire the computer games that we have now, and you look at Stellar Conquest and games like that, you see it was mostly just something, some other engine going on behind a war game. But now we are seeing what else 4X can be for us.
I think we're also kind of tunnel visioning on just the victory conditions. That is definitely one thing that a 4X game can have, is different victory conditions. But in my opinion, it's not, almost not at all the defining. Like if we just think of the 4Xs, the reason why that 4X was exterminate is because Masters of Orion wanted to emphasize combat. And as Ray was saying, we have a Civilization who came along and has done an excellent job promoting different victory conditions, but I don't think that that's necessarily what defines the genre. And I would say it's more what Combat Wombat was saying about scale. That was you, right, Combat? I forget. But
no, I was Victory Conditions.
Okay, was it Ray then who said scale? Or am I making this up?
It was no. Ray.
Okay,
it was
yeah.
not me that said, I think someone else said scale. Sorry.
Somebody said scale, and I think that that's really important. When you start small and then expand, like that, I think that's very 4X-ish to me, is that you start with one city, you start with one planet, and you get bigger and bigger, and, you know, the Victory Condition be damned, you know? It's just, I want to sandbox it. I want to be my own empire. I want to expand. I want to grow. So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought Ray said scale, and if he didn't, then I guess I misheard him correctly. And he also mentioned the sandbox aspect as well. And it's just usually the scale of the sandbox is what gives you that 4X feel.
Well, I maybe I misstated it by saying sandbox, but I guess what I'm getting at is there wasn't really an asymmetry, right? You and all of your opponents kind of started at the same level, and you had to kind of go out and discover them. You know, there's a lot of games where there's an asymmetry, and I think the earliest 4Xs didn't have that at all.
Right. So if we consider what I would consider the average 4X game, you start, like Tortuga said, from that like humble beginning of just one city, just one planet, and you know, you start sending out your scouts, whatever they may be, terrestrial or scout ships, and you start exploring your surroundings. And I think that is what the core of 4X is humble beginnings and a sound exploration mechanic that really kind of opens up the world progressively.
And I would kind of defend that as a reasonable definition of the 4X game, that you don't actually have to meet all the 4X. You probably do, the explore, expand, exploit, all those. If you meet those, you probably are. There's a good chance you're a 4X game, but that's not really the defining characteristic. We just have this image or this like idea in our head of what a 4X game is now. And I don't think that those 4Xs necessarily have to apply as... I think a lot of people throw flack at the 4X term just because it encompasses a lot of games beyond what those 4Xs are. But I think they're missing the point that we already have a notion of what 4X means. Like, if you ask somebody what a 4X game is or action game is, they couldn't define the rules, but they already have a notion. And that's where our definition really comes from.
And another thing I think related to what Rob said about humble beginnings is I think that the concept of research and a tech tree folds into that, because, you know, like in Civilization, you started with chariots, but then later on you knew you were going to end up with tanks, you know, and in the space games, you start with like small ships, you end up with dreadnoughts at the end. And I think that's ties into that.
Right. And so if, as you progress, as you've, you know, sort of almost pick up steam, it's like, you know, this, let's go back to the humble beginnings. So you start with humble beginnings, you move out, you start to figure out what's going on around you. And that's where like the expansion starts to come in. So you do colonize new planets, you start new cities, and that like snowball starts to pick up. Let's talk a little bit about that. So you mentioned research. In what other ways do you think 4X sort of gradually leads you along?
Well, here, like government types, religions, you know, you may not be necessarily advancing to a completely 100% better tech, but you could be moving along in the development of your empire in other ways as well.
It plays a lot into the expand mechanics. Usually you're also expanding your economy, right? That's a lot of what happens when you're unifying your trade routes and you're building your new factories and whatnot. And that whole system usually is supposed to be an engaging part of the game as well.
Right. Yeah. So, and I think that's where I start to, I mentioned this before, and maybe I mentioned it off air, but I'll say it anyways, cause I like it. But like there was a rather popular, or maybe not even popular, but just a well-known saying by a senator about pornography, that, you know, you couldn't really define pornography, but you knew it when you saw it. And that's the thing I always say about 4X is like, you just know 4X when you see it. At least I do. So like when some people are making arguments that like Sins of a Solar Empire is a 4X game, I tend to argue against that. And is there anybody else here that has like a game where they're like, no, that's not 4X, or yeah, that's definitely 4X and we're not calling it?
I would actually say maybe Sins of a Solar Empire is 4X. I'm not like very devoted to that opinion, but I mean, it seems to qualify in, like, in my head, at least.
It's a real-time strategy game. Nothing else. It's a slightly more complicated StarCraft in space instead of on the ground.
And maybe that's where it comes from, just the fact that it's in space, so then my tendency is to lean towards 4X immediately.
See, and I totally agree with Combat Wombat. Like, there are tenets of 4X that I really feel are missing in Sins of a Solar Empire, like diplomacy. Diplomacy is really big for me, and I think that's where, you know, Massive Ryan and Civilization were very closely connected, because diplomacy could become a very big aspect of the game. And when you have like zero diplomacy in the game, that right there is a big strike against it. So Sins didn't have that.
Well, I think the connection to Civilization is really important, because I think when you think about 4Xs, and with Civilization being the first one, you think about all of the key elements in Civilization. The idea that you have either towns or some sort of analog, like, you know, in Master of Orion, you have star systems, you have research, you have diplomacy, you build military units, right? And then I think you have to have most of those elements to kind of fit the general definition.
I guess, interestingly enough, if we're not just talking about Civilization the game, but Civilization the concept, I mean, 4X games involve taking your civilization that spans, you know, some smaller territory and expanding it over galaxy or planet or whatever we're dealing with. So really, you're trying to deal with a lot of aspects of a civilization: the people, the military, the governments, the economy, the factories, the terrain, the territory.
Also, I don't know why, Ray, you say Civilization is the first 4X, because probably these are all games that were based on board games. I mean, you could probably even say Settlers of Catan is a 4X game. And maybe, I don't know where the idea comes from originally, but I think it'd be hard to pin down. So why do you say that Civilization is the original?
Well, I'm not sure if I said it was the original. What I really kind of mean is it's kind of like the archetype for 4X games now. I mean, it was the first really popular and commercially successful 4X game, and it's still going on today, and it's the, you know, it's the benchmark for success in this genre. And so that's kind of where I'm going with that.
Okay, I completely agree with you in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it's also important to remember in terms of the origins of 4X. Civilization was the game, the computer game was based on the board game that came out in 1990.
But there's also, right, like Reach for the Stars in like 1983 was a board game. Alpha Centauri was a hex-based board game from like the 70s. So I don't know. There's a lot of predecessors to these games.
Right. So beyond, I mean, now that we've, I'm actually curious. Can you think of a PC game that came before Civilization 1 that sort of held those tenets together?
There's very difficult to Google names like Empire and Imperialism that existed before then in the 80s. I do believe the original Reach for the Stars was also an early 80s game.
Yeah, that's why I was going to say Reach for the Stars.
It was a board game and computer game at that point.
Okay, so to kind of recap, we've gotten to the point where we can say that 4X games, they're really hard to define. I mean, even just now, we've had an argument whether or not Sins was a 4X game. And this is just, I mean, that's the tip of the iceberg, because there's a lot of things where there's a lot of games, and I can think of a couple more that I feel like are wrongly defined as 4X games. What about you guys? Do you think there's games that you guys can think of that are kind of controversially called 4X games?
I'm actually kind of curious what you think are falsely named 4X games.
I think Thea, a lot of people like to throw Thea around, and Explorminate gave Thea their Game of the Year award, which I completely disagreed with when I was there, because I don't feel like it has many, if any, really 4X tenets. It's a turn-based strategy game, no doubt, but I don't really think it has 4X elements.
I guess this is exactly the question, right? What are the tenets it doesn't have that a 4X game should have?
Well, absolutely, I could start with the fact that there's no expansion. And I think that is, I mean, hell, it's in the name. You know, expansion is the second X. But even then, there's no substitute for that expansion either. Like, you know, here in Theia, you're starting with the, well, you only have or ever have one city where you're supplying with, you know, various resources and stuff like that. And you're searching parties, going out and doing things, but you never expand. You never find new cities. You never do anything to kind of make up for that expansion element.
So I haven't actually played that, but is there vertical expansion? Can you make your city bigger?
To a degree, but it's also limited. I mean, like you can add like defense buildings and you can add various farm types and stuff like that, but it's most certainly the most underdeveloped part of the game. And for me, I think that portion of the game, because that's one of the things we started with. We said, hey, you start from humble beginnings and you go on to become bigger, better, and stronger. And with Theia, that never really happens. So while I think that it's a great, I don't think it's great. It is a decent turn-based strategy game. I don't think you can really make the argument for it being 4X.
I can't really think of any other 4X games that are misclassified. I'd also fall on the side of Sins of the Solar Empire not being 4X as well. But other than that, I can't think of any commonly misattributed 4X.
So let's go back to Sins just for a second. So I would say that there is no pure real-time strategy 4X game. I think you either got to be turn-based or you have to be pausable real-time. Anyone disagree?
I wouldn't disagree necessarily, because you do have multiplayer games that have like the Paradox games where you could have pausability, but you can remove pausability for multiplayer games. But generally, you need, at any point, you should be able to evaluate all your options, which is very important, which is basically impossible to do in a real-time strategy.
Well, although I want to agree with you, I feel uncomfortable agreeing with that. I think that it's possible to have a 4X game that's real-time. Like you said, you would just lose some of the ability to analyze as deeply as you would in a turn-based game.
Can you think of any examples of a pure real-time game that you would count as 4X?
No, I can't. Like I said, I'm disagreeing with you in theory. It seems like it would be possible to create a game like that.
Yeah, I think we can make up an example right here. Let's just take Distant Worlds, and now let's pretend that it's not possible. Would that be, that would still qualify as a 4X game, in my opinion.
It also qualifies as torture, in my opinion. But
yeah, it'd be unplayable. It wouldn't even be a game. It'd just be an exercise in futility.
I don't know. I don't see why that's the case. Let's pretend, okay, so let's let's continue to buff this example with, let's make the interface very good. Right-clicking can actually do things besides, I mean, things are context-sensitive, etc. Then maybe you could actually play a 4X game out of an unpausable Distant Worlds.
Or what about Stellaris?
Stellaris does have more granularity to it that does allow a little more flexibility. If you slow it down enough, you should be able to do it.
Yeah, or even, okay, I'm going back to Distant Worlds, but now I just thought of, what if you leave on a lot of automation? Is it 4X game still? I don't know, but
I guess in the case of Distant Worlds, the problem is that automation cannot be trusted. So if you had the ability to have, you know, leader characters that you could assign jobs to and you could depend on them not sending your fleet right into the sun, then yeah, I could see that working as well.
Yeah, I think I'm just disagreeing on a theoretical standpoint, but practically, I don't know why, but I just can't imagine a game that would be 4X that wouldn't at least be possible. So it's just like a theory thing that I disagree with the comment. Like in principle, it exists, but probably practically it won't.
I just don't see what advantage there would be to removing the pause button unless you're trying to make the player's attention part of the game mechanics.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember too. I know every real-time strategy game that's 4X-ish I can consider are possible. I mean, Star Drive 1, Star Ruler 1, Star Ruler 2. I just can't think of anything that even fits that. Yeah, I mean, going back to your argument, I think I'm agreeing with Tortuga.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be a theoretical thing. We just can't name any because we don't think any exist.
And probably even what Kirkus was saying, there doesn't seem a point to making 4X games non-possible because all you're doing is eliminating the decision point or the ability for the user to make a well-thought-out decision. And I think that that's part of the 4X thing is giving the users a lot of a lot of these things are abstracted to be like happening in years or whatever. So you would have that time if that was a reality, you would have plenty of time to make those decisions. So it affords the player like an infinite amount of time to make those decisions, like to kind of parallel, you know, one turn being 3 months or something.
Right. That is a big part of the appeal. I agree with that.
It's also what kind of drives me nuts about real time 4X games as well. Even though it is possible, I always feel like if I'm not watching everything with as much omniscience that I can muster, that I'm somehow missing something.
Well, and this is what drives me insane about real time too, is that I have a really hard time balancing my need for things to progress and also seeing everything. So I find myself hitting the space button way more than I probably should. Like Stellaris, I almost have to play on the fastest setting, but then I like so many things will go by all at once where I feel like I'm playing catch up, but there's a lot of, you know, empty space between those.
Yeah, which is why I definitely have a strong preference towards the turn-based variety. I can definitely have fun with the real-time stuff, but turn-based is always where my heart's going to be.
So it sounds like everyone kind of agrees that pausable or turn-based is very important to a 4X game, but I'm sure it's not defining because there's lots of games which are pausable or turn-based which are not 4X. So we kind of did like by exclusion, but like what are the things can we do which make the genre itself? It wasn't even something that came to me until Ray said it or whoever it was, like this ability to start small and expand very big. What other stuff is like that?
I genuinely feel diplomacy is a defining characteristic of 4X, because if you think about any other game, any game really, I mean, you could consider real-time strategy games that are just like, you know, like StarCraft or, you know, any turn-based games that I'm not really thinking of right now. There's a lack of a diplomacy aspect to it. And I think that being able to interact with your opponents like that and make deals, make alliances, stuff like that, that's something that's unique to 4X. And if someone can think of a game or give an example of a game that isn't 4X that has some sort of diplomacy.
Age of Empires 2, you've got, you know, basic treaty system, you can trade resources. I think what really defines the exploit X is having both a diplomacy system and an intelligence system of some kind.
Also now I'm thinking we also have games like City Builders. You have your Anno series that are real time and have a lot of features of 4X games, but they also tend to be that smaller scale, I guess.
Right. Yeah. So like Anno, you like build multiple cities, but it never becomes like this cohesive empire. It really feels like.
I think I played Anno a long time ago, like one of the older ones, but that doesn't really have the, I guess it has some combat. I don't know. It's for me immediately, I would say Anno is not a 4X game, and I don't know why. It just doesn't, it's very city builder. And I'm trying to think what's the difference between those two, but maybe the focus is too much internal on a city builder, whereas 4X games are still very much external, which is why diplomacy is so important.
Yeah, actually, I think you're onto something there, because I feel like this particular difference might be pretty key, just the difference between the Anno series and what we consider 4X to be. And I think you're onto something in terms of the inwards focus that you find in the Anno series, whereas 4X games tend to be outward focused because you are expanding, you are exploring.
Well, and that's why I think diplomacy is a defining characteristic, because there is so much external pressure in these games, and that comes from these other players that you end up, I mean, you just have to interact with them diplomatically. I mean, if I'm thinking about like Galactic Civilizations 2, like there wasn't a game that went by where you weren't wheeling and dealing and trying to, you know, interact with these AI players that would either, you know, work to your advantage or, you know, you would be setting up to eventually conquer. So, you know, you made a mention of Age of Wonders 2 being, or I'm sorry, did you say Age of Wonders 2? Age of Empires 2?
Yeah.
One of those games. But either one of them, like the diplomacy, it was perfunctory. It wasn't necessarily a defining, it wasn't integral to the part of the game. And that's where I think 4X, that is a value that I find in 4X games that I don't find anywhere else.
Oh, I would completely disagree. So RPGs, where you're dealing with multiple factions that you've got, you know, a rating with, and you're trading, and you know, maybe even you've got some territory control going on. There's a lot of that in a lot of RPGs that are definitely not 4X games.
It's sounding like this is more of a list of things that we need, right? Like, you can find elements of 4X games in other genres entirely, but what seems to be defining the 4X genres is the things that it brings together.
Maybe another way to look at it for the diplomacy is, you know, when you hear fans go on to their developer forums and maybe complain about a shortcoming of a 4X game they're playing, you know, one of the common laments is, I don't have enough diplomatic options, right? So I think there's an expectation from the fan base that there should be a really deep and robust diplomatic model in these games.
Yeah, and they really don't exist. I mean, Combat, I get your point about them existing in RPGs, but they exist in a different form. You know, a lot of that is just normal dialogue between two people or two groups of people, whereas, you know, there isn't another particular genre that focuses on one person or a group of people speaking for an entire race like they do with 4X games. You know, beyond that, I think there's also other things too. Like, I mean, we talked about technology and that like natural progression of technology tree. And I think that's another defining characteristic, because if you think about any other game, of course, if you go into like StarCraft or something like that, there are technology trees, but they're usually very truncated and, you know, they're not very long. Whereas 4X games focused on a progressive enlightening of your people. So I just think that that's also something that you think about when you consider unique aspects of 4X.
A light bulb went off when you're talking about all these things. I think that diplomacy is not the defining. It's not a 4X game because of diplomacy, but it is one a very crucial part of 4X games. That's what I would say. And while we were talking, I was thinking about, why is that? I think it's another thing we can talk about is the scale. Like, a lot of 4X games, they're done over a very long period of time. Like RPGs, every interaction is just in the immediate. Like, I'm changing this faction for, you know, the here and now. Whereas in 4X games, you have this focus on an empire expanding slowly over time. I don't know if that's necessarily the defining again, but it might be another thing that 4X games do, is that you have this progression through time, a long period of time, compared to most other games, which, you know, war games are just like these battles, this war, stuff like that.
I think the interesting question actually you're also raising is that RPGs, you play a character, but in 4X games, who is the player, right? You are existing at the dawn of civilization and you continue until you launch your first spaceship. You're some kind of guiding spirits of the civilization.
That's right. You're not really an individual in the game. You're more like, if you think of these games like the God games, you're like the deity guiding your civilization, you know, to success, I guess.
Dominions.
It gets pretty literal with Dominions, but yeah, actually that's actually a decent analogy there, where you're playing a god, right? And that's what you're doing in Civilization. They're just not calling you that.
Well, that's another thing which can be part of 4X games, but I think a lot of real time strategy games, we don't really know who we are. We're just like Command and Conquer. We're just the Nod forces, you know. So we're not necessarily in this sense, it's not exclusive, but.
Well, I don't know if you've been paying close attention to those Westwood era video clips where they told you exactly who you were in the mission clips, right?
Yeah,
but with 4X games, you're very amorphous kind of being.
Yeah, I think that might have been a bad example, but we could say, I can't think of a real-time strategy game where you aren't given a name off the top of my head, but I'm sure that they exist, where you're just, I mean, Age of Empires, these are real-time strategy games. I don't think we're ever defined as specifically the king or the empire or whatever. So, I would say it's not defining, as in, for other games can have this quality, but it will probably also be part of 4X games.
A lot of those games, though, you're generally implied to be the general or the admiral or whatnot, whereas 4X games, you're definitely there's nobody who does what you do in that game, right?
I disagree. I think that sometimes you can be seen as the president. Sometimes you can even, some Forex games, you have to fight against the people or whatever. And if you were just like the god or whatever, and you had total control over your civilization, then maybe that wouldn't be the case.
Right. I mean, I'm not necessarily always making the god comparison, obviously, but you take the Stellaris, right, where you have unruly people that need to be dealt with. I mean, you're not necessarily the president because your leader dies and you elect a new one. So you're not the leader. You're some kind of entity besides that.
Okay, so maybe, yeah, you're right. That's also a good point. Then what is it that we're trying to say, that you're trying to say, that a Forex game is defined by the fact that you're nebulous, you can't be pinned down as an entity in the universe?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that's how you define it, but I think that's a common characteristic, unless people can think of other things.
I think that's a great point, actually. You're like this, like the spiritual embodiment of a faction or a country, but you're not necessarily anyone.
Well, okay, so obviously Crusader Kings 2, for instance, is not a true 4X game. It's, missing exploration at a minimum. But if you had a game that had that kind of system where you're essentially playing a succession of leaders that are real in the game, can be assassinated, would that stop being a 4X game?
Well, I think even there, right, you are a character, you manipulate a character in the game, but that character eventually dies and then you become their heir, right? So you're still not specifically a character. In this case, you're kind of a dynasty, a more abstract concept.
Yeah, that makes me laugh. If you consider a game where, like, in Crusader Kings 2, you are one person, and when you die, you're done. Like, the game over. That's it.
It'd be more like a roguelike, right?
Yeah, and that's not fun for anybody. So, and that's a great point. Like, if you were to carry over Crusader Kings 2's gameplay mechanics into a 4X, I mean, you'd still make the argument that you're this, like, I don't know, like, incorporeal being that just, like, has, like, dictatorial, like, capabilities over everything. And it's just, and that's why, again, like, Tortuga's made a really good point of saying that's not the defining characteristic, but it is a characteristic. And I think that's something that we could also apply. That particular aspect is definitely something we can apply to 4X.
Well, I think it definitely draws a contrast between 4X games and something like an RPG, where you definitely are playing a character.
Right, yeah. And even if you were to select, like, say, let's go to the Civilization series, and you are, you're selecting a leader. But again, in this case, like, okay, say I'm Roosevelt in the newest American, or the newest Civilization. And that, yeah, the point is that leader starts from 4000 BC and lives forever. So again, you're choosing this, like, figurehead, but it's not realistic whatsoever. So, I think that's, it's definitely something to consider when you talk about characteristics of 4X.
So we keep coming back, and every single time it always ends up at scale. You're not just one person. You're a dynasty at a minimum. You're not just, looking into the city. You're, looking out at an empire.
Yeah, so scale is a big thing about 4X then. I mean, that's something I think we could all agree on, is there's a sense of scale that 4X definitely gets done better than... I mean, it is a defining characteristic of 4X, scale.
What do we think is the smallest 4X in terms of scale?
If you want to use Age of Wonders, and I don't like it, but if you want to use Age of Wonders 3 as a 4X game, the sense of scale isn't really there. I mean, sure, you get, like, new units and new magic, but the actual time progression is, to me, it doesn't feel like much time passes.
I guess the maps also feel kind of smaller as well.
Yeah, I was going to say Heroes of Might and Magic would be probably one of the small scale ones I can think of.
See, this is where we can argue, but I'd argue that it's not. Heroes of Might and Magic's not a 4X game. And I think it's mainly because there's only one victory condition. It has a very strong focus on combat, and even the, like, empire management aspects of Heroes of Might and Magic are all geared towards creating armies.
Well, I don't disagree, but I still think they're 4X games.
Yeah, this is where you can get into mixing genres, probably. It's probably not considered maybe purely a 4X game, but it has a lot of 4X qualities to it, where the ultimate, it's probably more of a turn-based combat type game.
I think we're back to Rob's porn analogy, where we know it and we see it and we all have a different idea of what it is.
Yeah, because, I mean, there, I wish I'd thought about Heroes of Might and Magic earlier when we talked about games that are thrown around as 4X that I don't necessarily agree with. And Age of Wonders is one of those games too. The third one started to kind of incorporate some 4X elements, but I still think that scale is missing. But, you know, if we can sort of recap where we've gone, we've talked about 4X partially, at least some at some level, being about being some sort of like amorphous entity or godlike controller. There's diplomacy involved that is generally the more deep or the more options we were given, we enjoy. There's a sense of time span or scale that doesn't really occur in any other genre. You know, there's an argument for it not being entirely real time because it just wouldn't be fun or manageable. Can you guys think of any other defining characteristics or elements of gameplay that just need to exist for you to feel like it's 4X?
Well, I think we're all forgetting about the 5X experience as told to us by Master of Orion 3.
I have to be honest, I don't know what that means. Can you explain?
Yeah. A lot of the marketing stuff that came with Master of Orion 3 is like, oh, we're adding a 5X experience, and then we got Master of Orion 3.
Yeah, I don't even know what they were attempting with that. I don't know if the experience, it was just marketing ploy, or if there was actually like an attempt to, I don't know, use experience to like, I have no idea. Actually, I'm going to bow out of this. I have no idea what they were trying to do.
I will say that right after Master of Orion 3 came out, when Gal Civ 2 came out, I think they actually kind of nailed the concept of experience when they had the quests where you would have an alignment that would change over time, you know, based on decisions you made. That's probably the closest thing to that I've seen.
That's actually coming up a lot more often with newer games, these narrative mechanic. You see a lot of in Stellaris, for instance, and you saw some of in, we see a lot of in Stellaris along with Endless Legend or that kind of experience. But I'm quite sure that's not what they meant with the Master of Orion 3 marketing material.
I would say one we're missing is research or some kind of skill progression tree. Obviously, that's kind of like an RPG thing, skill tree, but an empire-wide skill tree is a defining thing for 4X games for me.
Yeah, I personally couldn't imagine a 4X game without a research tree. In fact, it just wouldn't be a 4X game to me if you wouldn't focus efforts on particular technologies. Or in the case of Age of Wonders 3, you know, you use some of that effort to focus on researching spells and stuff. That sense of progression in that aspect is definitely a defining characteristic.
Yeah, I don't think I can think of any 4X game doesn't have some kind of research or technological advancement of some kind or another, technological or sociological or whatnot, depending on the theme of the game.
Does anyone else have anything that they would consider important?
Well, I'm just going to say it since we haven't mentioned it explicitly, combat. I think that a 4X game where you aren't allowed to build up a military force or have some kind of combat with other entities is not a 4X game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that because we kind of skimmed right over that in the start of this. But exterminating is definitely one of those X's, and it's definitely one of those things that you find in a lot of other genres as well. But again, 4X tends to have that scale that other games don't have.
That's why I was saying that maybe you can use this against city builders, because, you know, if you take something like SimCity, there's not any military in that. I mean, there's a lot of 4X stuff missing in that, but a lot of these games, if it doesn't have combat, I can't imagine it being a 4X game.
Yeah, the individual units in 4X games are rarely just individual people. Like you see in the Anno series, like the early ones, you could command soldiers around and you just literally have a soldier that you equip with a musket and order them around. Whereas 4X games tends to have the implication that your spearmen are actually a group of spearmen who are guarding your city, for instance.
So on the obvious things that we've overlooked, I mean, exploration would be next on the list. You know, if you know all of the game, you know, physically the map or the universe or whatever at the start of the game, then you're missing that X and it's just not a 4X. So like Crusader Kings 2, you know exactly what the world looks like right off the bat. There's no surprises there.
I agree, Comet. I think that that's really important because a lot of ground strategies, they're very similar in a lot of ways to 4X games, but I would say that being on a prescribed world, that makes a big difference between, I mean, that's something that would eliminate you from a 4X game.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well. Because even space 4X games where you can see the stars, there's still things to find on the stars. You need to scan the stars. You need to figure out what planets are there. And that's all interesting, kind of thrilling information, just thinking, oh, I don't know what I'm going to find behind the star. It's actually interesting enough. That's actually occurred in Stellar Conquest, the board game in 1975. The map had a bunch of star colors, and whenever you arrived at a star, you would pick a card from the appropriate color. Like that's where that mechanic came from in Master of Orion.
That's interesting. You know, speaking of Master of Orion, sometimes I think we sell the exploration phase a little short by just restricting it to the map. You know, whether you're in Civilization or Master of Orion, you're exploring areas. But at least in the original Mu, there was another aspect of exploration, and that was in research. You literally did not know what technologies were going to be available. And in effect, you were exploring the research tree throughout the game and responding to things you found there, much in the same way you might respond, you know, to finding resources and systems out on the map.
Yeah, that's a good point. I really enjoyed the tech system in Sword of the Stars as well, where it was a randomized tech tree where you start out and you have your roots of the tree and you try to figure out where is this going. Even if after repeated plays, you still don't actually know what's in that tree. So you would keep playing and wonder what's next.
Yeah, and I think that's what one of my favorite aspects of Stellaris is too. I mean, I've played, you know, maybe half dozen games in the last couple months, and each time I go through, I've just rolled different techs. And I mean, there's some of those techs that stay in that same like tier of research every time, and I think they're all like tiered. But each time I play, I've gone down a different path, and I think that really helps replayability. Which is also going to kind of segue into my next point. I think replayability is a huge thing in 4X games. You know, it's something that keeps coming back for me. Like the whole reason that I like 4X games is because I can fire up a game and it's very different. It should be very different each time I play.
Yeah, a lot of replayability comes from, for instance, the tech tree and also the terrain and what other civilizations you've just been locked into the cage with, Galaxy Planner or whatnot. And that's always something you find out, and a lot of it at least gives you the option to not know who you're about to encounter, and gives you a lot of other check boxes to see what kinds of things are going to be there, but the specifics are always hidden from you.
Right, and that's where randomization comes into play, where you have like a random map, maybe a random tech tree. You don't know who your opponents are going to be, so if you're like Master of Orion, you have these asymmetric races that all have different abilities. So it's to me, it's the unpredictability of the RNG that really helps with the replayability.
I would love a system, when we're talking about research, I'd love a system where it took what worked with Mu and, you know, you focused research efforts into a particular subject and then what works with Stellaris, and that you would focus those efforts. And then once you get a point where, you know, eureka'd or whatever, you can choose like a Stellaris tech, something that's, you know, I know that that was Master of Orion to a point where you choose an iteration of these technologies. But I really think that if we could go back to research being more of a discovery element than a planning element, I'd really like that.
So Master of Orion 3 actually kind of had that, where you'd pour research into it and you would have to prioritize your engineering projects. Basically, the scientists would do the science, and then you'd purchase the results of that science with engineering efforts.
Oh, the ideas. Could have been something.
So many ideas, but the execution definitely counts. And they didn't do it.
Well, I'm kind of poring over the different things we've said right now in my head, and I think one of the keys then, it seems, a real linchpin is progression over time and scale. That's what the word I was looking for. Scale. So is there a game that is not 4X which has a scale? The one I can think of off the top of my head is Spore, which I don't really know what you'd classify, besides probably an imperfect game. But I'm trying to think of any other games that have this huge scale over a long period of time. You'll probably mention Europa Universalis or Crusader Kings, but those are the only two that come to mind.
Maybe some of the God games that were kind of all the rage in the mid-90s, but I'm not really thinking of any off the top of my head right now. I guess actually some of the Sim games, which are kind of God games, but Sim Life and Sim Earth.
Well, even SimCity 2000, you go from, you know, the 1900s with coal plants all the way to the, you know, 2100s with fusion power, or Rise of Nations, you know, basically a Civ scale time game, but a real time strategy.
Speaking of Rise of Nations, can we go back to our previous conversation about non-possible 4X RTS?
Yeah, actually, just when you said Rise of Nations, I was like, oh, nuts. Yeah, we missed one.
And it's one of the best 4X games of all time, in my opinion. And, you know, it's funny because the scale isn't quite there because maps are smaller and, you know, like the sense of general, like, geography scale wasn't there. And because games are shorter, maybe, like, the sense of time progression wasn't there yet either. But, I mean, to me, Rise of Nations is one of the best 4X games, or even best games of my entire life. So
it's not a 4X game, though. What does it have that Age of Empires 2 doesn't have other than the extra time scale?
Well, it has a technology tree that's rather extensive, for one, and various ages that you progress through.
So does Age of Empires 2. It's got a lot of tech. It's got multiple ages.
All right, someone help me, please. I'm out of it. I got nothing.
I just want to see the fight, really.
Well, I think, okay, so I get your point about Age of Empires 2, but the progression does stop at some point. Remind me, because it's been a long time since I played Age of Empires 2, but don't you go to like the Gunpowder Age and then kind of stop there?
Yep, you basically go from, you know, the Bronze Age to the early Gunpowder Age.
Whereas, like, okay, so I can see your argument for Age of Empires 2 being 4X. The economy scale in Age of Empires 2 is pretty small. So is it for Rise of Nations. So I guess if I'm going to make the argument for Rise of Nations, you can certainly make the argument for Age of Empires 2. But the sense of scale is larger for Rise of Nations. And I think there was also a focus on borders and diplomacy that just, I mean, granted, the diplomacy in Rise of Nations was also pretty sparse, but it's also, so you could say that, you know, that they're very similar games, but I still think that when you think of 4X, again, that whole pornography thing, I see it. I know it when I see it.
Well, so you said borders, and I'll give you that. Rise of Nations had a border system where Age of Empires 2 really doesn't. That's the only real difference I can think of. Neither of them quite measure up to 4X for me.
But the point is we now have an established example of a non-possible real-time 4X.
Well, I think this lends itself to how the idea of 4X, it can bleed into other genres. You can have a real-time strategy with 4X type stuff. This is the same thing in music. I think we talked about this just on our own. But these genres are just, what is the 4X genre even for? What's the point of defining a genre? It's because people who play one type of 4X game might like another 4X game rather than just randomly picking another game from all the various games out there. So in my opinion, yeah, okay, we're trying to put things in a box when there's going to be gray zone. There's just necessarily going to be gray zone. And I think that's fine. It's just impossible to, you can't define what pop music is. You can't define what grunge is, or you can attempt to, but mainly it's what people think it is, which is what is important.
Yeah, I was going to make the music analogy as well. I was looking up an artist from my friend, because they're asking, hey, what genre is this? And it's like, I don't really know what it's called. It's like, oh, it's either cloud rap, witch house, or dark wave. Like, I don't know what any of those things mean. And that's okay, I guess. I think ultimately it's a label we put on something to facilitate communication of ideas. So if we're talking about 4X games, most of us know what that means. Is there much point debating what is or isn't a 4X game? Maybe not, but because games are ultimately games and they are all unique and have their own things to bring to their table. So
I think it's also important not to get stuck on definitions. These are used as just a means of communicating. And if you want to be very pedantic about it and say, oh, that's not a 4X game, I'm very offended that you would say it. Well, okay, just say that it has 4X parts to it or something. But basically, well, the reason why we're even defining what 4X is, what real-time strategy is so that we can communicate a general idea. And yes, my exact idea of what 4X is might not be the same as yours, but that doesn't mean that the term is null and void because of that. It still communicates an idea very well.
Right. If the criteria for a valid label was for everybody to agree on it, language wouldn't exist. So I think we just need to be okay with it. Be okay with it that we don't have this universal definition. Just be open to, you know, cool games that we like, you know.
So we're going to sing Kumbaya now?
Yeah, I was going to say that kind of just killed the discussion now. Are we going to talk about something else?
So it looks like what we've come down to, and we're not going to be able to define it perfectly, but we've got, from the top, being an amorphous entity, so you control a nation without being a person actually in the game. You have diplomacy, that the time span has to be really large. It doesn't, or probably doesn't, lend itself to a real-time experience, so it has to be either pausable or turn-based. This notion of a progression over time. We have research, combat, exploration, and that exploration can mean even exploration in the research tree. And finally, we have replayability. Those are all the things I had for what a 4X game is.
Yeah, that's such a mouthful and like a mindful that I think we'll just move away from that for now. I think we did a pretty good job of kind of, you know, defining what we consider 4X games to be. And, you know, like you said, there's little reason to argue. So we'll move on. Tortuga, talk to me about what your most anticipated 4X games are.
Well, definitely. I don't know when it's coming out. They are keeping a close lid on it, tight lid, I should say. Distant Worlds 2. I really, really, really want to see that. That's by far the game I'm anticipating the most, like out of any genre, for the future.
Combat, sir.
So my game is already here, kind of. I'm looking forward to Future Stellaris with 3 or 4 more DLC. I think they're going to round it out, and it's going to be the solid game that we all want it to be. And that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, there's something about Stellaris as it is now that even with like the, I mean, I'm super anticipating Utopia, and I was having a hard time playing the game that we have now, knowing what's coming with Utopia. But there's something about its scale that I don't really find anywhere else other than Distant Worlds. But there's a lot else going on there that I can't do anymore now that Stellaris is out. But I have to agree with you. Stellaris is really, it's something to look forward to. And it's great that they're going to probably do that for like 4 years. Kirkus, sir, what about you? What are you most anticipating?
I'm also really looking forward to at least the update and maybe Utopia once it comes out and whatever other DLC is coming up for Stellaris. But I'm also really looking forward to Endless Space 2. I enjoyed Endless Space and its cleanness, and I'm really hoping they can combine some of the interesting mechanics they brought with Endless Legend into Endless Space 2. That would make me so happy.
Ray.
Okay, well, the 4X game I'm actually anticipating this year is an indie title called Dominus Galaxia. It's supposed to have a Kickstarter sometime in, I guess, this month. It's pretty coming up pretty close. But the reason I'm anticipating it is because they're doing a lot of work with the AI, making a really difficult and challenging AI. And I kind of see this as a social experiment for 4X fans to see how well they're going to tolerate a 4X AI that just trashes them. Because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how well it's going to be received. And I'm really curious to see how it turns out.
So the AI guy is a guy who patched Pandora First Contact. And initially, oddly enough, the initial AI for Pandora would just obliterate you, even on the easiest settings. So he had to tone it down a bit. So it'll be interesting what comes with that. I think you're right.
Yeah, I'll agree. I think if we're talking about 2017, I have two. Sorry. Dominus Galaxia is definitely on the list. And I have very similar sentiments as Ray does, because I'm interested to see if people will kind of catch on to the whole, I personally hate colony management. It bogs me down. And when we talk about 4X games and we're talking about that like amorphous entity, I don't think that amorphous entity is going to really give a shit about colony development. I think that's going to be something they would automate. If I were an amorphous entity, I would do that. So I'm really excited about something that kind of takes away the focus from colony management and worries more about, you know, empire-wide management. And then I'm really excited about Endless Space too, because I don't think anyone does 4X narrative like they do. And being privy to the upcoming update 3, I'm just really excited for everybody to get their hands on it and see just how well Endless Space 2 is coming together.
Yeah, okay. So if it was 2017, since Distant Worlds 2 probably isn't coming out in the next year, I would also say Endless Space 2, because there's a lot of promise there. And I wasn't like amazed by the original Endless Space, but I've seen how things have really done well in the Endless Legend field. So I'm hopeful for Endless Space 2.
Is there any word on Distant Worlds 2? I think they're just not talking about it.
There, as far as I know, there's just one developer post saying that it's in the works, and then everything else has been pretty hush-hush about it. You know, the expected date could be 2025. We don't know.
So we expect to have actual spaceships exploring space before we have Distant Worlds 2, is what you're saying.
They're going for realism, so I guess that's the case, yeah.
Well, I will say that Eric Rudens, who's like a product developer, one of the main product developers or somebody, he's somebody big at Matrix. He has officially said that it's in the works. And when I reached out to him through the subreddit as a hope that he would do like an AMA, and he said he would want to wait till later this year. I don't know what that meant, but that's all I'm going to say, because I'm gonna guess that means that later this year they might actually have something to talk about. Anyway, so that's great. And if we're talking about games, I mean, Ray, this is not because you're here on the show, but Remnants of the Precursors is on my radar too. And I've waxed poetic about how awesome I think that game's shaping up. So if it's not already on your radar, you should definitely check out Remnants of the Precursors, because it's free. And the guy, who do you have doing the art? Because that dude is super talented.
Okay, I am going to take 2 minutes to plug this game. Okay, I think it's going to be a great game, which is okay, because it's free. I'm not going to make any money off of this. But I'm working off of a great model, which is the Mass of Orion model. That's like the gold standard of 4X games, in my opinion. We've got a great artist, Peter Penev. We've got a graphic designer redesigning all the UIs. I'm in the midst of doing that. And I've got a professional writer who's redoing all the dialogue. And I'm doing the developing. I think it's going to turn out great. There won't be any 3D graphics or anything. That's an expense I can't carry, but I think it's going to turn out well, so... Thanks for mentioning that.
Well, while I've got you here to pick your brain just briefly before we wrap the show up, and I'm curious, how are the ship icons going to look? Because you've got this really cool art style that, you know, you've got going with like the diplomats and the spies and a lot of the other stuff. But what kind of graphic design are you guys looking for with the ships?
Well, they're going to be 2D ship icons like in the original game. And the artist is going to have some flexibility on that. And we're not doing the ship combat, and we're not going to start the ship combat until after this next developer edition is out in about a month. So I imagine they're going to be flat 2D, but they're going to be a lot more detailed than the original game.
Really looking forward to it. I mean, I can't really, I've said it enough, but I can't say it enough.
Thanks.
It's really exciting. So, hey, Ray, thanks for joining us. Hopefully we can have you on again. It was a lot of fun kind of diving deep into 4X and what makes the 4X genre the 4X genre. And anyways, I think this was a great episode, an opportunity to kind of dive deep into what 4X is all about. And I think we did a good job of dissecting the genre and the various gameplay mechanics that exist within it. Thanks for joining us, Ray. I know you're a busy man, so I appreciate you taking the time to come with us, and hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Yep, I would love to come back. Thanks.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's something that we might have to revisit. And, I mean, there's just so much to talk about when it comes to the 4X genre. But I think we've done a good job to at least introduce it and sort of dissect it as much as we could for the first episode of probably many that we'll go over it. Next time, we don't have a topic yet, but we will have figured out something, and we'll post it on the subreddit so that we can discuss it prior to recording. And thanks for listening, guys. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will talk to you guys in a couple weeks.